You might become discouraged and despondent, and the enemy begins to say to you, look, since you're down, stay down. It's a lot easier to be down. It's more comfortable down here. Now, see how you blew it? Meanwhile, whether you are actually hearing him or not, the Lord is saying to you, I've got you in my hands. I've got you in my arms. Repent. Seek my forgiveness, and I'll give it to you. I know we talk about hindsight as being always 20/20, right? Hindsight is the ability of seeing things after the event has taken place. It is the opposite of foresight. Foresight is the ability to see things and anticipate things before they happen. If you anything like me, we are all good at hindsight. We really are. Someone was describing his friend, and he said, you know, he can only predict things after they happen. I'm not big on regrets, that is, staying in regrets. I have learned through the years, through the Word of God and many of those who have poured into my life, that when I fail miserably, I turn back to the Lord immediately and confess and repent and place my sin under the blood of Jesus. In my own life, when I do not take time and pray, praying includes listening to the Lord. And then once I hear, obey the voice of the Lord. If I don't take time to do that, every time, not just some of the times, every time I fail big time. I blow it. Every time. Well, as I said, there are two ways of dealing with failure. So you can beat yourself up and keep at it, or there is another way. I believe there is a better way of dealing with past failure. And I believe with all my heart, it is not only a better way, it is the biblical way, it is the godly way, it is the positive way, it is the healthy way, and is found in the second half of Psalm 37. Turn to it with me, please. In the last message, we dealt with the first half of Psalm 37, and then I said I will complete it in the following, which is today. Here in Psalm 37, we are seeing the old wise King David giving us some very wise advice. And we do extremely well to listen and adhere to how the Holy Spirit inspired this man who has lived through a whole lot of stuff in his life and came through the other end to tell us about it. And I began by telling you last message, the first half, do not fret. The second half here in Psalm 37, the same wise man, David, is continuing. He is saying, learn from me and from my experience. Learn from the benefits of hindsight. Learn from my past failures and pain. Learn from my past sin and the suffering that came as a consequence of that sin. Learn the consequences of those painful experiences that I have been through, and don't repeat them. In fact, learn from me regarding the futility of worry and anxiety and wanting to jump the gun and do things that are not consistent with the will of God for your life. And here's actually David saying more than that. He is saying to us, learn from this benefit of a long and painful life, of a life that's seen the ups and has seen the downs, a life that have experienced the glory of God and at the same time, other times, experiencing the dumps. First, in hindsight, I know now that God never never, never forsake his faithful ones. That's in verses 23 to 26. Secondly, he said, in hindsight, I know that God ultimately blesses his faithful ones. Verses 27 to 34. Finally, thirdly, in hindsight, God truly is honored when you and I trust him fully and completely. And you find that from 35 to 40. Let's look at these very quickly. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to repeat them so you still be able to write them down. In hindsight, I now that I've got a long life behind me, now I look back at my life, I now know in hindsight that God never, never, never forsake his faithful ones. David reflects on the faithfulness of God through the years. And he reflects on that faithfulness of God and he sees the heavenly Father is much more and much greater than an earthly father. But even more than this, look at verse 23. The steps of the faithful child of God are ordered by the Lord. Though along the way, as he takes steps, he may fall. But when he falls and splatter all over the place, God never says, well, on your own, buddy. But God says he'll never be forsaken. Why? Because he said the Lord upholds him with his own hand. That is the promise of God. You see, it's saying that the Heavenly Father never throws out his son or his daughter out of the house. And never throw his son or daughter out of his abode. Why? Because the Lord is carrying you, whether you know it or not, and whether you feel it or not. Question, how does this work in the life of believers today? How does it work in your life and in your life and in my life? I'll tell you the obvious. Then I come to answer the question. Do you remember when you became a new believer in Jesus, when you came to Christ and experienced his salvation, and you experienced his forgiveness, all of a sudden your spiritual eyes are seeing this incredible love of God who died on that cross for you and shed his blood for you. Remember how excited you were and how on cloud nine you were? Remember how so much in love with the Lord you were? You want to do anything for the Lord. You don't want to do anything that will offend him, and how you cannot wait to wake up in the morning to tell everyone about the forgiveness of your sins and the joy of receiving that forgiveness. You remember how you were studying the Word of God, you're devouring the Word of God, and you're learning from the Word of God every day, how you are seeking God's will in your life in every step, and how you prayed before you make any decision, and you sought God, and God guided you. Well, the spiritual growth in all of our lives mirrors the physical growth. So when you become a believer in Jesus, you basically have become a spiritual toddler. Can you say spiritual toddler? Now, there may be spiritual toddlers here, and that's fine. We all go through the stages. And you remember, if you watched little toddlers, how they excited and how they're delighted in pleasing of the parents. Look at me, Daddy. Look at me, Mommy. And they kind of really get a joy and a delight out of the parents' love and the parents' approval. It's just a special relationship with the little toddler. And it's the same thing in the spiritual realm. And God seemed to respond to the toddler in a different way than he does to the mature Christian. Oh, Lord. Then followed by the adolescent years. What do you do in adolescent years? You think that you know everything. You think you know everything about the Christian faith, and you're about to make a decision. You make a very important, crucial decision, and you give God 24 hours to respond. He doesn't respond in the same way when you're a brand new Christian. Now, I don't know why, and I thought about this long and hard, just like David. I've looked back in my life, and why does God not respond in the same way to a mature Christian as he does to a baby Christian? And I could think of various reasons. Maybe because he wants to teach us to wait on Him. He maybe wants us to learn patience. Maybe because He wants us to learn to trust Him. I don't know. I just trust the Lord that there's a reason for it. You might become discouraged and despondent, and it's, at that point, there is a huge temptation comes from the devil, comes from the enemy of your soul, huge temptation, and the enemy begins to say to you, look, since you're down, stay down. It's a lot easier to be down. It's more comfortable down here. Now, see how you blew it? You'll never be able to have the same relationship with the Lord again like you once had. And his miserable voice kept coming in and said, no amount of repentance now is going to restore that relationship or be used in the work of God. You will never be an example and a role model now that you have failed. Meanwhile, whether you are actually hearing him or not, the Lord is saying to you, I've got you in my hands. I've got you in my arms. I'm upholding you with my own arms. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to strengthen you. I want to teach you some very important lessons, some life lessons. You are mine. And nothing and no one can change that. I could never disown you. Repent, seek my forgiveness, and I'll give it to you. This wise old man, David, is saying, the steps of the godly woman or the godly man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, though she falls, he will never cast you out. God is not only faithful to his own faithful ones, but he is faithful to their descendants. To their descendants. You remember the widow of the faithful man of God who went to the prophet Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 4. Go home and read it. Here's what a lot of people miss. They think of the miracle and they think of all the encounter and Elisha and all of this, and it's all wonderful. But there was a one sentence there. When this widow comes to the prophet Elisha, she starts by saying, you know that my late husband was faithful man of God. See, that's the key here. You know, Elisha, that my husband was a faithful man. But now, I'm a widow. I'm up to my eyeballs in debt. And the debt collectors beating on my door, they are threatening to take my boys into debtor's prison. They're going to take them into slavery. And you know what the Lord did for her? Elisha asked her, what do you have in your house? He always starts with what you have in your house. What do you have in your life? What do you have? Bottom line is, God gave her an oil factory. An oil factory out of a drop of oil. And she paid all her debts. And she lived for the rest of her life and her sons. God is always not only faithful to his faithful ones, but to their descendants. Beloved, if you have never risked anything in faith, in absolute trust in the promise of God, before you see the evidence, you're missing out on incredible blessings in life. Blessings I can't explain in words. Oh, dear God, when I read how less than 3% of believers tithe to the Lord, I want to cry. What kind of faith is this? And we pray for revival, we pray for God to bless America, and we pray for this, we pray for that, and his people are not faithful to him. Just in case you feel bad, I was ordained to the ministry and was not faithful with my tithe. And the Lord had to teach me that very, very important lesson. Long story. But I remember back in 1979, we're living in Atlanta, and my income at that time was just about, maybe slightly above, poverty level. But it came after God taught me the lesson of faithfulness with His money. It's not mine anyway. We were tithing. And I remember the sweet lady who I was introduced to help us with our taxes. And she looked at me and she said, "How can you tithe when you got three children and they've got their future and future education and everything else that's coming on?" I remember looking her in the eye and I said, "That's because you have never experienced the Lord stretches a dollar all around the house." Someone here may be sitting here or even watching around the world and says, "Well, Michael, to be truthful, I just don't feel blessed right now." I understand. I really do. The times when I don't feel blessed are the times I look back and realize that they were the times of my greatest blessing. David knew it is so easy to fall in the temptation of misinterpreting and misjudging the blessings of God. David knew that all of us, without exception, including your pastor, are prone to fall in the temptation of thinking that we know what is good for us. David knows that all of us are vulnerable, including your pastor, to the thought that we know better than God of what we really need and what we should have. Look at verse 27. "Depart from evil and do good." What is that evil he's talking about? It's the evil of falsely accusing God of not loving you. It's the evil of falsely accusing God when He doesn't give you what you want or you think you want, that He doesn't care. The evil of hardening your heart toward the Lord because you didn't get what you want. It's the evil of anger toward God. It's the evil of coldness toward God. I remember one time many, many years ago, a lady came and she said, "Will you pray for me? I have this cold love toward God." I never heard that term before, but since then I understand it. Depart from it. Depart from now. Depart from it today, this moment, as you're hearing the Word of God preach. Why? Verse 28, "God does not forsake His godly ones because God promised His own favor on His godly ones." Because God promised that He is faithful to His faithful ones and they will inherit the earth. NIV says land, but it really is the earth. And in the New Testament, I can tell you, it's a new earth. A new heaven. In hindsight, David is saying, God never forsake His faithful ones. In hindsight, God always blesses His faithful ones. Thirdly, in hindsight, I know that God is honored by our trust of Him. You know, I hear people all the time say, "We want to honor the Lord. We want to honor the Lord." Listen to me. The greatest honor that you can bestow upon the Lord is you fully trusting Him, trusting His timing, trusting His timing. Can you say that with me? Trusting that's always a hard one. Even when He allows inexplicable things that happen in your life, be patient and trust that God has your best interest at heart. Even when you see the wicked prospering, even when you see evil succeeding, even when you see falsehood is rampant, even when you see immorality is praised in public, even when you see deceitful people becoming famous, even when you see the wicked grabbing the headline and the headline news, even when you see the corrupt and the greedy seem to be getting away with it. Even so, you trust Him. You trust Him. Don't be tempted, because that is not the last word. That's not God's last word. His last word is coming. Look at verses 37 and 38. "The faithful is at peace regardless of the circumstances." Verse 38, "The transgressors shall be destroyed." just like those pretty flowers. They might look great on the outside, but don't judge by appearance. Verse 39, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. That means, my beloved friends, it is permanent. It is permanent. It is permanent. Don't ever forget, God is not writing your name in the book of life in a pencil. And every time you blow it, he turns it over and erases it. And then you repent, he writes it back. No, no. He said, your name is written in the book of life by the blood of Jesus Christ. And nobody can erase it. God does not save you one day and then disown you another, dump you another day. The Lord is their strength in times of trouble. Look at verse 40. And the Lord will deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trusted in him. The Bible said that many are the woes of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him from them all. How many? Beloved, unfailing trust in the Lord will ultimately bring you vindication. It may take a little longer than you think, but it will bring you vindication. Your unfailing trust in the Lord will honor him in the long run. God said that he will honor those who honor him.
Connect with us on social media. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram to receive daily updates from Dr. Youssef and reports from the team on the ground leading the way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Together, we are sharing the gospel around the world through every available means.
You know, it means so much to me when I hear about sacrifices that our partners are making in order to help advance the gospel. And you're about to hear from one of those partners. As you learn about the simple sacrifice she made, I pray that you'll be encouraged to give generously and see all that God will do in your life. God bless.
My husband and I got an invitation to a Leading the Way conference through Church of the Apostles. During that conference, there was a story about a fellow who had some land that he wanted to sell to give to Leading the Way. He asked the question, how many Muslims would fit on this land, in a way of asking, how could this money help people in crisis? And I was thinking, I don't have any land I can sell. How could we be involved in giving? This is really amazing ministry. This is really helping people, and I'd like to help. They showed the first Christian Yemeni song. Which was just a beautiful music video that is broadcast through KingdomSat to Muslims all over the Middle East. And that video just had a deep impression on me, and it made me want to somehow be involved in this ministry. And I was feeling a great pressure on my shoulders, like something had to give. So I went down the hall wanting a private place and found a door ajar and slipped in there and had a good cry and a good talk with God. I had been debating, should I color my hair or not? Because that's money I could give to Leading the Way. And the idea began to grow and grow. And I thought, okay, how about if we could use our savings, because things were good in our life and we had jobs and we had shelter and we had food. So is it right to be hanging on to our emergency fund when the harvest is ripe and there's work that needs to be done? When I went back out and I asked my husband, he said, that's a great idea. And we became Leading the Way supporters. And that was an amazing feeling to be able to give like that. Oddly enough, after the conference, when I had decided to stop coloring my hair and give that money instead to something better, I started getting a lot of compliments on my hair. That seemed a little odd to me, but it was also very confirming that I'd made the right decision. And then each year, it's a matter of looking around at what could I sell to give to the ministry? Why not? It's much better to think of the money going to be used for something valuable instead of just sitting there collecting dust. It feels really good just to be able to get up every morning and hear the news about this ongoing crisis and these refugees and know that there's a little way that I've been able to help. The simplicity, however we can find it, whether it's not coloring our hair or not doing this or that or selling something, there's a way I think we can all find to simplify our lives and to bless someone else. Before going to the conference, I already had a great interest in the Middle East, and knowing that Leading the Way was working in this area was a real draw for me. And this ministry is not just helping those in the Middle East, but those in Indonesia, in Australia, and really all around the globe. If you're like many and you're really distraught by the news you hear and see every day, you wonder, what can you do? I recommend being a partner with Leading the Way because it is a very positive step that you can take to impact people and be a part of a positive change. There is hope in the midst of chaos.
You know, my friends, in just a few months, I will turn 70. But I'm advancing the gospel with more intensity than ever before. Our nation, our world are desperately in need of the good news of Jesus Christ, and Leading the Way is uniquely positioned to bring it to millions. As we come to the end of our fiscal year, we are blessed with a special gift challenge opportunity. As you know, I receive no income from Leading the Way. Every cent goes to gospel ministry. I hope you'll join me this month and give generously. God bless.
All over the world, a movement is growing. God is drawing the lost from death to life in Christ. This fiscal year, through your partnership with Leading the Way, you are there with us on the front lines, proclaiming the gospel more than 13,000 times a week, reaching hard-to-reach places with God's Word, helping new Christians grow in their faith, and equipping believers all over the globe. Right at this moment, millions have access to biblical teaching thanks to you. And right now, you have an opportunity to take the gospel even further. This month, generous friends of Leading the Way have committed $507,000 to the ministry and are challenging you to match their gifts this month. With your help, that $507,000 can become more than $1 million for the gospel through our June gift challenge. Will you join us as we advance the gospel at this critical time? Call or visit us at ltw.org to give a generous gift today. Don't forget, this challenge ends at midnight on June 30th.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.
At the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia, every Sunday I meet people from all over the United States, from Maine to California, and they love the experience. They said, for years we've been wanting to come and visit. And so if you're ever in Atlanta, Georgia, I would love for you to come and visit. Shake my hand, and I want to thank you in advance for making that to be a priority in your life, visiting apostles. God bless.
Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef is a paid program sponsored by viewers like you.